today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, United says it will fly about half of its 2019 schedule in November of this year, and Airbus is working on a cool new aircraft, which looks like it could change flying forever. Details next in the travel news.
You know, some people who like to travel think it's smart to stay close to home right now. So we have something fun for homebound travelers, something that is certain to make you a smarter traveler when it's time to hit the road again. It's coming up at 3:20.
I spent the last week traveling through rural Nevada with 19 folks on a tour featuring the old Lincoln Highway and U.S. 50. I'll share my observations and experiences from our COVID time travels with you at 3:35.
And lots of you write to us with questions about your upcoming travels and would like to share your questions and our answers today on the air. Mark's going to dig into the Travel Guy's mailbag coming up at 3:50.
As those of us who love to travel try and figure out ways to move around safely, we are happy to share our knowledge and expertise to make you a smarter traveler. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Lord, I was born an American man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Hey there. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. You know, Mark, I was listening to the our opening little collage of songs, and, you know, I wonder if there's anybody that's listening to the show, you know, often enough that they could actually, like, a cappella sing each one of those hooks for each one of those songs. I'm going to work on that, and one of these days I'll go on the air and I'll do it. But we'll do it, you know, because it's just the little snippets. And you get to the point when you listen to that, you literally anticipate what particular little travel clip is coming next. You know,
maybe we could have a contest.
That's entertainment.
Yeah, how many of the artists could you name? In the right order.
Oh, that would be fun too.
Now people are going to pay more attention to the beginning of the radio show. So I was on the road last week, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on the program. We for folks who don't know, Tom and I are not in the studio. Haven't been since the COVID started. Luis is over at KFBK over by Arden Fair. Tom's in his house. I'm in my office. We each have kind of little mini studios, and Tom and I look at each other on Facebook, on FaceTime here, and that's how we communicate during the program. We could log on before the show, and I look in the background and I see these two crutches there. So what's
all? Oh, hey man, I'll tell you, I was driving down Highway 50 and I looked at the intersection and there was a woman strapped to the rails. I flew out of my car, saved her before the train come by, just like in the movies, and I threw my hip out. No, you probably think I'm
so
making
all
that
of
up.
That. All of that is true, except for all the part that came before you threw your hip out.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm at that vulnerable age.
Yeah.
Where if you do a pull too many weeds and you carry too much stuff, you know, you wake up one morning and you know, that sacroiliac thing.
Yeah.
I don't even have a conclusive on this, but all I can tell you is since Tuesday of last week. Fortunately, I had some crutches from some previous injury I can't even remember, tucked away in the garage. And so anyway, I've been limping around on that. And, you know, just for the benefit of the listeners, I am not on any, you know, any heavy drugs.
That, I see.
It could cause me to act any weirder than I normally do.
Darn.
On this radio program.
Uh-huh. Well,
what you get is unaided.
It's a good thing. What I'm going to do for your lovely wife Stephanie is bring over a dustpan and a whisk broom so that if anything falls off, she can sweep it up and then we can reattach it later on.
Yeah, you know, I and here again, I got a shout out to my lovely wife who has been nurse and cook and get me this and get me that. Literally minutes before the radio show, I was hollering downstairs for her to bring the stuff I'd left on the printer that we use on the show. So she's the world's greatest wife, and God bless her.
Yeah, well, that's what it takes at situations like this when you're only – so here we are, the 1.5 travel guys for today.
Yeah, there you go. You know, fortunately, it hasn't affected my ability to get on the radio and say, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you the travel news. And with it, walking on all two, back from his Lincoln Highway trip, Mark with the headlines.
Hey, yeah, all of this cool stuff. Hey, horse-drawn carriages are returning to New York City. So that's it. One sign of normality coming back. Nevada has approved plans to allow large meetings and conventions. Large is a relative number. Up to 250 people can resume under very strict rules, which includes entertainment events, trade shows, concerts, and conventions. There are rules for up to 1,000 people at an event, but you've got to have a whole bunch of separate rooms and things. So right now, all this would allow entertainment in Vegas to do is put 250 people in the same room. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if some of the showrooms come up with something, or, you know, not all the shows involve entertainers that make thousands of dollars a night. So it may be very possible to bring in some of those second line people, fill your showrooms, and at least offer something. I suspect we'll see some of that. And now what it means is that small meetings can take place, but if you've got a convention of several thousand people, that may still be a little ways off.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say that there's a lot of small shows, the ones that they just literally almost give away, that are only, you know, a quarter full. In fact, what they'll do, it when they see that they're not going to fill it up, they'll just give tickets to anybody and try to get folks in there. So some of those shows, they just won't give those free ones away. They'll just spread everybody out. Conventions is something I'm really interested in seeing how that works out, because, you know, that's big bucks, and there's a lot of businesses that rely on trade shows, and it really is putting a cramp on a number of businesses. I would imagine that the National Travel Expo in New York City, New York Times Travel Show, probably going to miss it. Maybe till when?
Yeah, no, they canceled the one for January a couple of months ago. So yes, it's what's going to happen here is, I think you'll be able to, like, for example, there are coin shows and gun shows and little festivals and craft and trade shows that are on a small level. And I think what this is going to allow, we've seen this in a few other communities. I didn't look at the restrictions before we went on the air, but my guess is that it's going to be limited entry and vendors are a little further apart, and they will have done some things to make it all work. I saw some of this summer at things like farmers markets and stuff like that. So my guess is that that's what, as we kind of learn how far we can push the envelope, you know, without pushing it too far. And, so I think it's all part of this process of figuring it out and testing and ultimately perhaps a vaccine. Nancy Pelosi is pleading with airlines to stop layoffs. She says she thinks aid is imminent. Pelosi has been in discussions with Republican officials, and she says that she thinks that there will be some type of aid package past the first of the week. She encouraged airlines to hold off on the layoffs that were scheduled for the first of the month. I mentioned in the headline, speaking of airlines, that United Airlines says they will fly 49% of its domestic schedule in November, 38% of its international schedule. That's kind of significant, because November includes Thanksgiving, as most people are smart enough to know. And so if you're only getting half your schedule in the air, Thanksgiving is some years bigger than Christmas for the airlines. So that means that United doesn't anticipate needing more than half of its schedule. Now, let's remember, United is one of the carriers that is still filling the middle seat. So you might see Southwest and Delta, they've already said that they're not going to fill the middle seat. So that may mean that they're flying a little bit more flights at a lower capacity than United. But anyway, that's just kind of interesting that the airlines are kind of starting to admit that even over the holidays, travel is not going to bounce back. TSA says roughly 30 to 35% of 2019 traffic is passing through the checkpoints on a daily basis since Labor Day. That's about what it was before summer travel started. So most experts kind of consider that to be the floor right now. Hotel occupancy in the United States for a week before last was 48%. It's been a month before Labor Day since occupancy was above 50%. But I will tell you, having been out in some rural, smaller towns in Nevada, that in some of those towns, occupancy in hotels is way higher than 50%. So I think when you get more to leisure or to essential worker travel and away from business travel, those are the hotels that are probably doing better right now. Madrid is in a new version of a total lockdown. More than 3 million residents of the Spanish capital are only permitted essential travel. Restaurants and bars must close at 11 p.m. And Melbourne, Australia's second busiest gateway, will continue to bar overseas traffic until at least early November. Speaking of barring folks, the mayor of Kauai, in each of the islands in Hawaii, they have a mayor. Their form of government. So instead of each city on the island having a mayor, each island has a mayor. The mayor of Kauai says that he's not really thrilled about the reopening plan, and he wants a separate plan for his island, that if you're coming there, you have to take another test once you arrive and wait 3 days until the results come back to confirm with the test that you took from the mainland. So I don't know, but we might have some more complications on travelers getting to Hawaii. Just to refresh your memory, starting the 15th of October, if you have a test that comes back negative and it was taken within 72 hours of departure, you are welcome in Hawaii without quarantine. And finally, this is really cool. We have this article posted at TravelGuysRadio.com. If you haven't heard about this, especially if you're an air aviation whiz, you probably will want to see this. The headline says, "Why This Space-Age Airplane Could Change Flying Forever." And it's a pretty cool-looking, it looks like an aircraft of the future. It is a hydrogen-fueled aircraft, so it is very eco-friendly. And right. Airbus is building it in three different sizes, three different types. So this is really... the article talks about how these concepts could change commercial aviation, what it means for flyers. This is really cool. I'm going to try to get somebody from Airbus on the program who can talk to us sometime in the next couple of weeks about this, because airlines are a main contributor to pollution on the planet.
Right. Yes.
So I really sense that the fires in California this year might be a tipping point. For this whole climate change thing, particularly in our country, particularly in our region. I think people are going to pay a lot more attention to this, and they're going to start looking at ways that we're, you know, what are the things that are causing the most pollution, and is there anything that can be done about them fairly quickly? The governor with cars, 2035, he says we're going to make a huge change by then. This airplane might be the thing that takes some of that crud out of the sky and makes flying cool, not only from a flyer standpoint, but from an environmental standpoint. TravelGuysRadio.com, you can read all about it. And I hope that we will have a follow-up in the next couple of weeks and be able to talk a little bit more about that. And that is your travel news for today.
And that's Mark Hoffman. I'm Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys. And coming up after the break, it's our Smarter Traveler segment. And it's aimed directly at you sitting there at home thinking that it won't be long before you hit the road again. Stay with us. Thank you.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride? I won't move. Hey, you need a travel.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, let me be redundant. TravelGuysRadio.com for links to all the cool stuff that we talk about, our guests that we have on the air, and more. Well, Mark, before we get into the Smarter Traveler segment, we've got a pretty special show
coming up
towards the end of the month, on October 25th, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
It's a first for us, and certainly we're going to put Mark in the kitchen. We're going to put her in the kitchen with a gal who has an online cooking class, and pretty exciting. Mark, tell me
well,
what you know.
Well, and it's Paulette Bruce, who is a local chef and does online cooking classes. And so we have partnered with her, and we're going to offer an online cooking class in a couple of weeks here on the Travel Guys, 3 weeks to be exact. So next week we will give you details on how you can join us on Zoom to be a part of the class. It's going to be a live broadcast, and folks will be able, of course, you'll be able to listen to it if you just have Travel Guys on your radio, but you can also join on Zoom if you want to cook along or be able to see the class as it progresses. And then, of course, Paulette has classes that you can subscribe to on a monthly basis at a very reasonable fee. But so this is a promotion for that, but also a way to do something really cool on the radio and give you some tips about she's going to do a side dish for Thanksgiving and an appetizer and a couple fun things. It's a, you know, we've only got 23 minutes, so we have to make it all fit in that time. But I think it's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it, and I'm looking forward to it. I just hope that we have room on the Zoom call for all the folks who want to be live with her. But we'll have those details next week here on the Travel Guys, so you'll be able to sign up for it.
All right. Yeah, we did an audio check with Louisa back at the station earlier today with Paulette and her technical supervisor, Penny, and I got a chance to see the kitchen area there where she's got the nice stove with the big cast iron skillets, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm a little jealous you're going to get to be in the kitchen with Paulette, but looking forward to it.
I think they used to call that a simulcast, right? You know, when you were doing like live on the radio and live on television or else. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Pretty much. We got that covered. All right, now let's see. We were going to make people smarter traveler that are home and staying home, and we're looking to break out and do some traveling pretty soon. Mark, what you got for us?
Well, this is a compilation of, and this whole list is at travelguysradio.com, of a list of things that sites for virtual tours and live streams for travelers stuck at home is the headline on it. So the great thing about this is that some of these feeds are not only, you know, live feeds where you can see things, but live feeds where you can learn things. So if some of these are places that you're thinking about going to, why, you can actually see some live things, and there are connections to the website in some cases where you can click on things and find out more information. So indeed, you can become a smarter traveler, or you can just see some really cool places that you wouldn't normally see, and you might not even see when you were traveling. So let me give you some examples, like the Sistine Chapel in Vatican City. They have a virtual tour of the Sistine Chapel on their website so that you can explore all the artwork without the crowds. Google Arts and Culture has a variety of international and domestic things, including the J. Paul Getty Museum in Los Angeles, museums in Mexico City, Paris, Amsterdam. Broadway has an HD channel where you can sign up. You can get a free trial, and you can sign up and pay a monthly or yearly fee and see previously recorded Broadway shows or new Broadway shows. Some local things here. For example, the Monterey Bay Aquarium in California. Tom, have you been to Monterey, to the aquarium before?
I have. I love the Monterey Bay Aquarium and all the surrounding little gift shops and such that go on there. But what's the status of the aquarium? Is it still close to the public, but they have a virtual tour?
They have a virtual. You can do the they have live cams that will show some of the different aquatic animals that are there at the aquarium. So you can keep track of sharks and jellyfish and penguins and birds on some of their live cams. If animals are not your thing and you're looking more for a cultural fix, the Metropolitan Opera in New York streams archived opera performances each night through March 29th while the opera house is closed. The British Museum in London, this is the Victoria Zoo in Australia. So these are some pretty cool things. If you really like art, Old Masters Art, the Frick Collection in New York has a virtual tour. The National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., the San Diego Zoo. Yosemite National Park, the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if, you know, a lot of people love listening to baseball on the radio. And because right. if you can't go there, even if you can get up and run around and play baseball, you can paint a visual picture. And for folks who are homebound or not able to get out or not baseball players, it's a great way for them to be able to keep up with the game. This is the equivalent of that. This is a way that you can go on your computer.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I mean, people nowadays, they have the ability to cast their what's on their computer onto their big screen TV. So, you know, you can see it, you know, is almost as big as life. And here again, you're not no contact, you know, going on. You're socially distanced. You know, you don't get quite the exercise, but that's so cool.
In many cases, you couldn't take pictures as good as the videos that that are available or the live cams. And that's what these are, is a combination of virtual tours and live streams. So if you're a traveler, like I said, it's a great way to dream about some of the places that you want to see if you've been there before. If you're someone who's not ever going to be able to travel to some of these places, why, what a great way to take a world tour. Heck, it would take you a couple of days to get through this list. And because many of them are live cameras, then they'd be worth going back to again. And no matter opera, animals, natural history, whatever it is that you want. And this really is only a sample. So I really encourage folks, you can Google, you know, live cameras or virtual tours and enter whatever attraction or something that you want. And very likely that something will come up. They're really getting creative about all of this stuff.
Is there there wouldn't be any links to any of that stuff at that website that
there would be that one that you've yeah that you have that just obnoxiously mentioned, you know, travelguysradio.com. All right, after the news break, we are going to take you on a little road trip like the one I went on for the last 5 days across Nevada, the Lincoln Highway, and talk about traveling during COVID times.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to finding out where you went, what it was like. You know, interacting with the folks that you ran into, not so much just how you guys reacted, but it'll be fun to find out how the people that were greeting you and serving you were reacting. All right.
On the road again.
How ironic. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the travel and entertainment guys, and believe it or not, Mark is back on the road again. And here again, he didn't go too awfully far. And he,
no?
Well, in fact, I'm not going to tell it. I'll let the guy who went on the road and did it.
It was a breadcrumb sort of thing. I mean, you know, we went out to all the way out to Elko, Nevada, in Ely, Nevada. And the people are going to say, holy God,
what?
Why would you go there? Exactly. Well, first of all, we went to Elko because it was on the way. We had to get to Ely to kind of start the official journey, because Highway 50 back across Nevada, it follows the route very closely of the original Lincoln Highway, which was the first transcontinental road. So not only is that route the Highway 50, which is called jokingly the loneliest road in America, but it all before that, it was the Lincoln Highway, and before that, it was the Pony Express Trail, which just happens to end, you know, down the street here in Sacramento. So,
yeah.
So arguably one of the most historic stretches of road in the whole country, and almost no one lives there. So, with spectacular scenery. So we went out to Elko, which is a really neat town with some cool things to do. That's really cowboy country out there, in rural Nevada. And so you've got things like, you know, saddle making shops and things of that sort that will give you a look into the history of that part of Nevada and the like.
Speaking of that part of Nevada, give us a visual as to what particular area of Nevada is it located?
Well, Elko is, we're talking northern Nevada here. If you went out of Reno and you were traveling to Salt Lake City, Elko would be on Interstate 80 about, I'd say, roughly halfway to Salt Lake City. I don't know the numbers exactly, but that would be an accurate. So then you the 80 is above 50 geographically. So Highway 50 is an hour and a half or so below that, just like it runs opposite 80 until we get to Sacramento here. So we went out to Ely. There we visited a bordello, a working bordello, not open right now.
Oh, you told us you were going to do that. How did that go? Did the ladies that you enjoy it?
The lady in charge took us through, and I don't want to refer to her in any type of term that might be not be considered complimentary. So let's just say the lady who was in charge took us through, and there are no girls there right now, but she explained to us, you know, how they work and how often they work. And it's like, you know, any other industry. It has all those nuts and bolts and stuff like that to it. So it was kind of fun. We took a little tour there. We went out and saw the stars in Ely. Now, this is cool. We went out to see the stars because Ely is one of the places in the country where the sky is traditionally the clearest, top 10 place. We went out, and this guy comes out, and he's, you know, kind of an amateur astrologer, and he's got a couple telescopes set up, and he's going to show us the planets and stuff. Turns out he's the local judge in Ely, a circuit judge or superior, I don't know, anyway. But I'm guessing if you got a traffic ticket, so we told the people all the next day that, you know, we were okay because we knew the judge in town. That was kind of a hoot, going out and seeing four or five different planets and the constellations and stuff with the stars. We went to a drugstore in McGill, Nevada, that's been closed for, 50 years. The guy, the man who, man and his wife owned it, he got cancer, closed it, walked away from his wife, tried to keep it going after he passed away for a few years. She couldn't do it, so one day she just closed it and walked away. And the drugstore is just exactly the way it was when she walked away. So
wow.
It's kind of different and cool. The scenery in Nevada is really, really pretty neat. I mean, it's sheer mountains. There's not a lot of not as many forests and stuff. So it's more wide open spaces. And Highway 50 goes over numerous summits, but the road is very good. You know, it's well paved and stuff. Lots of Nevada has. Man, there must be a zillion ghost towns in Nevada. We went to one of them, Cherry Creek, met an old guy there. There's 25 people still left in town. And meeting the locals. Yeah, meeting the locals. Wow. That's what it's all about. And this guy was definitely a local. I mean, there's no question about that. And he knew the great stories. We went to Eureka, Nevada, which is absolutely one of my favorite small towns. Now, not Eureka, California. Eureka, Nevada. It's about an hour and a half west of Ely as you start back towards Sacramento on Historic Highway 50. And Eureka was a real boom town at one time. They have this historic old opera house. It was built in 1880. And they still have live performances there. They restored it. It's a mining town, and they go through these boom and bust cycles. And they've been smart enough when they have a few bucks to say, hey, let's fix everything up because we'll be poor again and we won't be able to afford to do it then. And my old buddy Wally Cushane came and met us. Wally lived in Eureka for a long time. He's retired now. He loves that. Wally used to give these cemetery tours, and the next time we go there with a group, I'm going to have him do one again. Wally knew, in a little town like that, everybody knows everybody. So Wally would take the people out to the cemetery, and he would say, now, you know, over here is the McGillicuddies. Now, let me tell you about them. You know, Mr. McGillicuddy, he didn't spend too much time with Mrs. McGillicuddy. And Mrs. McGillicuddy, she knew the barber really well, way too well down the street. And, you know, all the dirt of everybody in this little tiny town of 600, Wally knew. And he would take you through the cemetery and say, you know, this guy's buried over here. And look at the rest of his family's buried over here on the other side of the cemetery. And Wally knew why. Really, we went to the Atlantis yesterday for lunch in Reno, our very last meal stop of the trip. And I mention this because the buffet at the Atlantis has reopened, a little more expensive than it was before because there's a lot more labor involved. It's really unique. One person will start, you know, you say, I want some of that because you can't serve yourself. And then that person takes your plate, just like you would go down the buffet line and goes with you. And, you know, you tell them what you want. And then they hand you your plate at the end of the station. So that, you know, you don't handle your plate until it's full. Everything from cotton candy to crab legs. But the point is that if you want a good old-time buffet where you can just eat whatever you want, of all kinds of selection of food. It does exist, and it's at the Atlantis in Reno. And by golly, they are doing an amazing job. They're monitoring people, making sure that everybody has their mask up, is wearing it properly when they get anywhere near the food. They've got protective screens up, people monitoring things. The tables have been spaced apart. So if you're willing to pay $40 for the buffet, it's well done. And I really congratulate the people at the Atlantis, because this had to be not everybody has done this yet. So the people who are doing it first are the guinea pigs, and they have really done a good job. I'm not a huge fan of that hotel or resort necessarily, but I really compliment them on the way that they've done that. We met some really cool people coming across the country and had a chance to the gal who gave us the tour at the Opera House in Eureka. I walked in the door, and here were a dozen of our travelers surrounding her, and they were just asking her questions about the town and, you know, where do you get your groceries and where do the kids go to school and, you know, some of the normal things that those of us who live in suburbia or in a big city like Sacramento take for granted. And I've just been talking nonstop here. I haven't even given you a chance to ask any questions or anything.
Well, yeah, you've been, you know, you pretty much covered it. I did want to know, how the folks that you ran into, those that were providing your hotel and where you ate and so forth, were they happy to see you? Because
they
were. It's probably been a while since people have been coming in.
There were not a lot of folks in organized tour groups this summer, certainly. And this was only our second one, and the first one that was as long as 5 days. Let me tell you something. Everybody on the planet has had some stress in their life in the last 6 months, and people in the hospitality industry have probably had more stress than anybody else in general. If you were a server in a restaurant, or you worked in a hotel in housekeeping or the front desk or anything, probably there's been some times when you've wondered if you would have a job. Maybe you haven't had one for some time. You've been rehired. You don't know what the future holds. So when you're out eating in restaurants and checking into hotels and stuff like that, those folks have got as much on the plate as you do, on their plate as you do. So just I found that people are just – they're a little more likely to not – to exhibit less than perfect hospitality in crisis situations, because they've been dealing with crises for 6 months. And so when you go out on the road, be nice to other people. I hate to sound like Ellen DeGeneres here, but be nice to each other, because it really goes a long way. And if you're nice to people who are kind of, you know, not having the best day, then oftentimes they respond a whole lot better. And especially right now, a lot of people are traveling to small towns and places that are out of the way. A lot of people are traveling to these small towns. You know, places like Placerville are just overwhelmed with Apple Hill. Yesterday, we came down Highway 50 in the late afternoon yesterday, and the backup was 20 minutes long to get through the stoplights at Placerville. So a lot more people are flooding into areas that maybe don't normally. Apple Hill is always a zoo on the weekends. Go during the week. Go to Apple Hill during the week. That's the secret. Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to be a smarter traveler, this is the best local travel tip I can give you. Go to Apple Hill during the week. There won't be nearly as many people. You'll have a blast. If you're going to take the family, take the kids off of distance learning or out of school one day and take them up and teach them about apples. You know, I mean, but anyways, the folks in rural Nevada, they have not had a lot of COVID. So in some cases, you go into a town, not a lot of people are masking because they feel like they don't need to. And we were masked, and we washed our hands every time we got on the bus, sanitized. We took temperatures every day. Our folks wore masks unless they were in a restaurant and eating a meal. So we did our very best to protect ourselves. And it was kind of cool because along the way, more than once, local people said, wow, you guys are really, you know, you really get it. You know, you're really trying to follow the rules and be safe. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, we like to travel and we want to be able to go. We're tired of sitting at home. So this is why we're being safe. And I will say that all of the people that we came into contact with, when I say people weren't masking, I mean people on the street and stuff like that in some of these really tiny towns. But all the servers in restaurants, all the people in hotels, housekeeping on down, everybody that you came in contact with was all following COVID protocols. So, I mean, in terms of feeling safe, I never felt unsafe along the way. It was interesting when our tour started out on the first day, you could tell that people were a little apprehensive. But as we got going and got into things, got out into the wilds of Nevada, other than the fact that we all look like we just robbed a bank, I think everybody had a, yeah, exactly. I think everybody had a really good time. So, and we did meet some really cool folks and, along the way who went out of their way to help us have a good time. And being able to catch up with my old friend, Wally Cushane in Eureka, made the whole trip for me.
Well, outstanding. By the way, Mark, this radio show and the company that took all these fine folks on this little excursion along the Lincoln Highway, Sports Leisure Vacations, by the way. And all right, with that being said, you know, one of the things you can do is you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and if you have questions about travel or anything else for that matter, Mark also takes questions about coins. you put in your question, and we'll try to answer it on the radio or send you an email. And with that being said, we've got a great list of questions from the mailbag. We're going to dive into those coming up next right here on the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west,
well, there you go, Route 66, the other great highway that Mark and his sports leisure vacationers like to travel to. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Thanks for joining us, and it's that time. We do this, try to do it at least once a month. Otherwise, they just kind of like begin to pile up, and that is dip into the Travel Guys mailbag. Any words of wisdom or anything, Mark, before we just jump right in?
No, just folks who have a travel question, if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, there's a form you can fill out. You can ask your question. If it's something that needs immediate response, I'll try to get back to you as quick as possible. And then some of them that we think would be of general interest to our listeners, we save and share on the air. So, Tom, fire away.
All right. Marie in Folsom writes, my husband and I want to spend Christmas with family in Calgary, and since the border is closed and they keep extending the closing, how do we plan our travels? Do you think the border will be open by Christmas?
Do I think the border will be open by Christmas to Canada? I don't. I don't. Yeah. Because the infection rates here are so much higher than they are in Canada, I don't. The one thing that would make that happen would be an instant test, sort of like Hawaii is doing. But we've got to get down to the point where you can go to the airport, swish something around in your mouth or lick something or whatever. And and in 5 minutes, we know that, yes, you can go or no, you can't go. And I think that will help things. But here's the deal. If you buy an airline ticket to Calgary, if you can find someplace now where you can buy a ticket to Calgary, if the airline doesn't run the flight, you will be entitled to a refund, not a voucher, but a refund. So from that standpoint, I'd say you could make air reservations if you wanted to. You can make hotel reservations. You could you got to do a lot of work and be willing to go back and do it again and cancel. Don't do anything that isn't refundable. Did I mention that? Don't do anything that isn't refundable. Don't do anything that isn't refundable.
Don't do anything that isn't refundable. Speaking of refundable, John in Grass Valley, he's got a question just about that particular subject. He says, he's been patiently waiting for a resort to refund their deposit for a stay canceled by COVID. The reservation was for June, and it was canceled by the resort in May. They promised a refund, but nothing. He says, I can reach them by phone, and they keep promising, but nothing appears on my credit card. I have plenty of solid paper trail for my communications. Do you know how I can get my refund, Mark?
I don't know how you can get your refund, John, but I can send you someplace, especially when you said you had that paper trail. That is really key. When you've got an issue like this, folks, you don't want to communicate by telephone or get into a he said, she said. You want written communications, and then you want to keep a record of all of those. And it sounds like that is what John is going to do. I have no idea what the circumstances are of his refund. John, this is the deal. Chris Elliott, who's on our program a lot, has a website that helps people who are in situations like you. It's at Elliott.org, two L's and two T's, .org. There's a link on our website. And if you go there, they have a list of contacts for almost every major company in the travel industry where you can start at, you know, level five and send a letter and say, this is what the problem is. And you wait a week or two and you don't, if you don't get a response or don't get the response you want, you just start moving up the ladder. And at, in some cases, the folks at Elliott.org will help you. In some cases, you can help yourself. So it's a really good website, no matter for just about any type of consumer problem, but particularly if you're having an issue when it comes to travel. Elliott.org.
Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, answering your questions from the Travel Guys mailbag. And Rommel from Sacramento writes, what is the best site for hotel deals, in your opinion? And what about the ones where you don't find out about the hotel's name until after you commit to staying there?
Maybe it's just me. I will not bid on a hotel unless if you tell me there are three choices and there and I can look and see what they are and I can look them up on the web and say, we're not going to tell you which one of these three you're getting, but you're getting one of these three. And I can look at all three of them and be comfortable, then I will play that game. Otherwise, I'm not going there. I have been around too long and seen too many hotels in too many crappy parts of towns and in bad neighborhoods and places, and they were decent hotels, but you'd say to yourself, you would not stay there. And by and large, that's a lot of the properties that are available on a lot of these websites. And sometimes they can look really good on a close-in, tight picture. But if you move that camera back so you could see half the block on each side, you would never stay there. So just be careful on those. As far as what hotel website is best for deals, I don't have a go-to one at all. There's one called there's a Hotels Tonight, which is people who are still selling rules for this night, and that might be a good one. So that's the best thing I can think of. I there are so many, Rammel, that it's really potluck. And if I get something someday that I really believe in, I'll let you know.
Robert from Rockland would like to know. He's got a United credit card, and the renewal date is next month. And since he doesn't know when he'll be traveling again, like a lot of us, he really doesn't want to have to pay that $99 annual fee. Have you heard of any waivers on credit card fees? We know a lot of waiving going on. Sometimes yep. It's waiving your money goodbye. Waivers on credit card fees for cards issued by hotels and airlines. What do you know?
The secret answer. Come back here behind the screen, and I'll tell you, Robert. The answer is yes. Yeah. Some of them are waiving the fees. So what you do is if you've got a travel credit card, hotel card, airline card, when the fee comes due, call the company issuing the card and just say, you know, I'm going to drop this if you're going to charge me a fee. I haven't had one of mine come up yet. As soon as it does, I'll tell you. But it people are reporting with incredible regularity that they will waive the fee if you go back and ask them. Not any card, just one related to something that has been impacted by COVID. Got time for one more?
Yeah, one more. Caitlin in Elk Grove. I'm afraid to make a hotel reservation with a non-refundable deposit for an April trip to Cabo San Lucas. My boyfriend says, I worry too much and everything will be fine or the hotel will refund me the money. Can you be the deciding vote, Mark?
Oh, let's see. Can I be the
By the way, he listens to the show.
Oh, great. No pressure then.
So you're speaking directly to the boyfriend there.
Yeah. Okay. As long as it's refundable, yes. If it's non-refundable, then you got to, and you're in another country, and it's April, there's no hurry. People are not flocking. Hang in there. I would go with, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go with the boyfriend and tell you to wait 30 days and then reassess things, maybe even wait 60 days.
Well, there you go. Okay. Once again, travelguysradio.com. You can send us a question. We'll answer it either right away if it's urgent, and we'll get to it on the mailbag.
Next
That's
week,
about it for the Travel Guys.
Yeah, next week we're going to tell you about how you can sign up for our food show, for our cooking class on the air. So you can join us next week for that. In the meantime, Tom, try to stay upright there. and dance dance like nobody's watching. Well, maybe you don't dance.
All right, not at the moment. All right, folks, stay well. We'll see you next week on The Travel Guys.